something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled Responsibility of Prayer.
Hallelujah. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, to harass some members of the church, he says. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Stop there for a moment. Who is this James? Do you remember him? All the time you read of Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. These were the three closest to Jesus. You had the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And here, that's the guy that was killed. He was close to Jesus. Think about it. How could that have happened? He was one of the two whose mother came to Jesus to say, please, I'd like my two sons to sit one on your right and one on your left. In the kingdom of God. So, he's not talking about some ordinary fellow. No, this gentleman was close to Jesus. He wasn't just one of the disciples. He was one of the very close. What you would have called the inner caucus. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took three people with him. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. So, the Bible says Herod the king harassed the church. He harassed certain members of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He killed him. Where was Jesus? Why didn't Jesus say anything about it? Where was God? You know, people say, oh, why did God let it happen? Because they don't understand how the kingdom of God works. Why did God let it happen? You haven't asked the right question. The right question should be, did God let it happen? You can't say, why did God let it happen? Because that means you are saying he was responsible. He shouldn't have let it happen. You are claiming that it was his job to stop it. So you're saying, why didn't he stop it? No, imagine if I said to you this morning, hey, you, stand up. Why didn't you clean the floor here this morning? You'd say, oh, nobody told me I was supposed to clean it. That's what you'd say. I wasn't told. I didn't know it was my responsibility. Why didn't you open the doors to the church this morning? Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to open it. I wasn't told. So he said, why did God let it happen? Have you found out whether or not he had the responsibility to stop it? He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That got my attention. James, close to Jesus, was killed. And God didn't do anything about it. Could he have done something about it and he didn't? What about Jesus? Where was Jesus? Could Jesus have done something about it and he didn't? Why didn't he do it? You know, one of the problems that we've got among Christians is our communication because of our thinking. You know, if your thinking is wrong, your talking will be wrong. We've never really expressed as heirs as much the way God wants us to. So when we give glory to God, we tend to becloud the modus operandi behind whatever it is we're giving him glory for. I'll give you an example. I say, God healed me. Look, he healed me. He took the tumor out of my body. Thank God he healed me. That's good, but it sort of beclouds how it was done by God. Let me explain, Father. If somebody were listening, he would want to know how God did it. Well, he doesn't know, so, well, God healed him. God took the tumor away. So if the tumor didn't go, God didn't take it away. God didn't heal me. He didn't do what he was supposed to have done. You see it? The way we testify sometimes doesn't help us see the reality. There's nothing wrong with saying God did it. But it doesn't help us understand. So we take it for when he does it and when he doesn't do it, he's responsible for doing it, and he's responsible for not doing it. Now, you look at the scriptures and look from the first miracle in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John ministered to the man at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, who was impotent in his feet, never walked from birth, and the Bible says they laid him daily at the gate. Until Peter and John came, and Peter spoke to him and said, look on us. Give us your attention. The Bible tells us the people believed Peter healed the man. When they saw what Peter had done, they didn't say when they saw what God had done. You see, in our religiosity, we tend to present ourselves as humble without the real spiritual language. It was what Peter did. And it was Peter who said, actually, it's God who did it. I couldn't have done nothing. It was God who did it. But the responsibility was Peter's. What about when Paul healed the sick? You study the same thing. The Bible says when they saw what Paul had done. Didn't say when they saw what God had done. Now, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, I want you to go forth and I will heal the sick through you. Never said that. Never said that. He said, you go and heal the sick. You go and heal them. He said, you cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. He didn't say, I will heal the sick through you. So we make it God's responsibility. What about when Jesus healed people? Did he say, now, you see, my power has healed you. He said, your faith hath made thee whole. Your faith. Your faith has produced result. That's what Jesus said. It was their responsibility. Your faith hath made thee whole. On certain occasions, he performed the miracle. He didn't say, watch what God's going to do through me now. What? No, no, no. He didn't say that. He did it because that's what you call delegated authority, delegated power. He was a man of authority. Now the commissioner of police sends a traffic warden to the junction. He doesn't say, the commissioner says stop. Hey y'all, the commissioner says stop, all of you, hey. No, he goes there and he functions this way and you this way. He doesn't say, the commissioner, by the power of the commissioner. But that's what we do. We're making it the commissioner's responsibility.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. Do you know about the incredible features of the SeaTunes app? It's not just a music platform, but a tool for spiritual growth and empowerment. First, SeaTunes offers a vast library of gospel music from around the world. You'll always find songs that uplift and inspire. SeaTunes also provide powerful audio messages. Access teachings from Pastor Chris Ayakalolendi CDD and other ministers of the gospel for guidance, encouragement, and enlightenment. One of SeaTunes' groundbreaking features is its interactive capability. Connect with other Christians in real time, share testimonies, and participate in discussions. SeaTunes is a community for building relationships and supporting each other on our spiritual journeys, changing lives worldwide. visit www.ztunes.org. Download the ZTunes app today from the Lovell App Store, Google Play Store, and the Apple Store to unlock a world of inspiration. ZTunes, where every feature brings you closer to God and each other.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Soluco 1, number 18, Soluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays, by 8 a.m. Wednesdays, 12 noon and 5 p.m., Fridays 5 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call +234 706 060 3228, +234 809 826 2823, or send an email to info@loveworldradionetworks.org. This is the continuation of the message, Responsibility of Prayer.
Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he said, go ye therefore and make disciples, pupils of the nations. He said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability. Over all the ability of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Like that commissioner saying to that policeman, you go to that junction and you direct the vehicles. He says, but the cars are heavy. There are lots of them. There's a lot of momentum. They might hit me. Shut up, boy! I said, go there. All you have to do is, hey, and they all stop. Doesn't matter how many tones, they'll grind to a halt. He's been trying to understand that authority. Now, let that guy do this to you, and you move beyond that line. Then you face the wrath of the commissioner. That's when he shows up. You get it now? Not the wrath of the traffic warden, but the wrath of the commissioner who put him there. That's when he steps in to say, you did that to me? He doesn't say, you did that to him? Oh, me? He says to the police, to the law. You get it now? So we have been given the power of attorney to function in the name of Jesus. And the trouble is, most Christians are not using what they've got. So they're holding God responsible for what's happening to them. We prayed. So why did it still happen? We told God he was traveling to Lagos. And he had this accident and died. But we told God he was gone. You told God he was gone? It's not a question of telling God he's gone. And one of the things that a lot of us have to understand is death is not the end. That's why he included in it, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. In other words, don't look at death. Then after crying like this, you say, we must raise him up. You ain't going to raise him up. He's not coming up. Because your tears were a demonstration of your unbelief. Imagine Jesus coming to Jairus' house. Like some people say, well, when Jesus was at the grave of Lazarus, he wept. He didn't weep because somebody says, see how he loved him. Because Jesus, Bible says, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He wasn't weeping because he loved Lazarus. He was weeping because of the people. Listen to his prayer. When he prayed, then you understand why he wept. He said, oh God, you know I love Lazarus so much. You got to do something. No. He said, I thank you that you've heard me, but I'm talking now because of these people. That's what he said. Because that's why he wept. He wept because of them. Because he saw death that was nothing, paralyzing them, destroying them. Jesus wept. Death that was God's enemy, taking charge of God's people. That's why he wept. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death is an enemy of God. So when he steps in like a hawk to take somebody away, God feels it. It feels like, hey, I want my kids to do something about death. I've defeated death already. It's paralyzed. Come on, do something. There's a difference between being defeated and being destroyed. Death has been defeated. That's what the Bible tells us. But it shall be destroyed, annihilated. The car knocked the boy down. He's dead. Jesus. No. Stand as a man of authority in the name of Jesus. I keep his life in him. They said some robbers have picked him up. They've taken him away. Jesus! 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 They've carried my husband. Jesus! They carried him. Nothing to the work. They're going to kill him. You stand where you are instead of running. You say, in the name of Jesus, with joy, because you can do something about it. Doesn't matter where they're taking him. In the name of Jesus. I keep his life in him. You still there? I told you about the man. His daughter was driven crazy by demons. She would get up and run. Sometimes fall into the water like that fellow in the Bible. Sometimes she'll run against the wall, try to kill herself. On this occasion, she just took off. It was outside and she was running to a river that wasn't too far from where they were. The father ran after the girl. But, you know, she outran him. She was younger and the demons were making her run fast. And he was coming behind. Stop! Stop! And she wouldn't stop. The demons drove her crazy. Oh. When he couldn't catch up, he stopped. He said, Jesus, hold her. Oh, and she fell under the power. And he went there and picked her up. Well, he was just learning about authority. And Jesus let him get by with that. Next time, he shouldn't say, Jesus, hold her. Stop in the name of Jesus. Because when you're growing up as a baby, he allows you to do some things. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. God expects you to put away childish things. Childish things such as, oh God, in the name of Jesus, as we are going to bed this night, please protect us. Uh-uh. Don't pray like that. It will not work. Don't you understand? I know you've been getting by. Something wrong, my God. You say, in the name of Jesus, we are protected. We are in the presence of God. We live in the presence of God. Somebody said, how can you just, you are taking God for granted. You know, religious people, they say, you're taking God for granted. You think he's under obligation to do what you want? Okay, hold on. Where did you find that I was taking God for granted? Don't you think your reasoning is your problem? You're telling me that I am taking God for granted. How did you find out that somebody could take God for granted? How did you know? It's not in any book in the world. How did you come about that information? You see, your assumption is your problem. You are cheating God. Really? How do you know? Your assumption is your problem. You think you can get God to do whatever you want? Well, why do you think I can't? And why do you suppose that's what I'm trying to do? Your assumption is your problem. God said, ask me. I didn't tell him to tell me that. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and he shall find. He said, knock, and it shall be open unto you. What did Jesus say? Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He didn't say, if you ask anything, if he wants to. He says, according to his will. What is according to his will? According to his word. That means ask according to his word. Hey. Listen. He's not saying ask for things that are in his will. Zobratiko sojolamanda. Did you hear what I said? He said, clean out your eyes, clean out your heart, and understand.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised them from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Soluco 1, number 18, Soluco Road, Benin City. Worship with us on Sundays by 8 a.m. Wednesdays, 12 noon and 5 p.m., Fridays 5 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimony with us, please call +234 706 060 3228 +234 809 826 2823 or send an email to info@loveworldradiantworks.org. God bless you.